Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. Joining us today is author extraordinaire Verity Lucia. Welcome, Verity, to Lifelines Radio.
Hi, Maria. It's so great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you with us today. Can you tell us what prompted you to start writing?
I'm actually an architectural designer and entrepreneur by trade. That's what my background is in. But a few years ago, I started writing more seriously. I guess I've always dabbled with writing. I took a little bit in college, and really enjoyed it. I've always written a little bit here and there. But a few years ago, our oldest daughter was entering into middle school, and I just felt the call of the Holy Spirit to really just start writing with her. It's kind of funny. Short story. We were in the car, my daughter and I. She was 12 at the time. One day, and I put on my sunglasses in the car, and I could see all of the tinting on the windshield. And but only when I had my sunglasses on, and I took them off, and I couldn't see it anymore. I put them on, and I said, "Aaliyah," my daughter's name is Aaliyah, and wouldn't it be cool if when we put our sunglasses on, we could see the spiritual world around us, like the angels and the demons? And she was like, "Yeah, that would be cool. No, that would be scary, you know?" And it just kind of, I was like, "That would make a great book, wouldn't it?" And at this point, I hadn't written a book before, but I just started writing. We were talking about what it would be like, and I thought, "Wow, what a great opportunity to connect with her. What a great opportunity to really talk about the realities of the spiritual world, right? And the choices that she would have to make as a middle schooler and high schooler, and how it would affect her life." So I just really maximize the opportunity to work through those topics in story form. So I would write a chapter and we would talk about it. I would write a chapter and we would talk about it. And about five chapters in, I realized this is a book. I think I'm writing an actual book. And you know what? I think it would apply not just to my daughter, but to my nieces. And then why stop there? Why not for the other young women who are in middle school and high school, right? And so I just took a self-publishing course and learned more about writing story, and just educated myself a little bit more about the literary world and just kept going. And that's how it began.
That's remarkable. Now, how did you choose your genre, or did your genre choose
I
you?
was going to say my genre chose me because I was writing for my daughter. I had a very specific reader in mind. She wasn't a particularly literary girl, right? So I just wanted to write fast-paced, accessible fiction, and it came out like supernatural Catholic fiction for teens. And that was it, you know? It chose me. And it really is story for the modern teen girl, who maybe spends more time on TikTok than she does in the library. I just wanted to touch the hearts of those girls.
That's wonderful. And what is your latest work about?
So the last book I published a few months ago was actually a companion book study to my first novel. So my first novel is Hidden, Don't Fear the Unseen. It's a spiritual warfare novel. But my most recent work is that companion book study to that first novel in the four book series. And so it actually goes chapter by chapter, kind of like you're hanging out with me, I guess, and that you get prayer at the beginning, and it's a mother-daughter book study is what it is,
That's
meant to
nice.
really open up, do what I did with my daughter, but do help you do that with your daughter, you know? So it's like hanging out with me, so chapter by chapter, and you would read a chapter of the book, and then you would do the book study, and then open up that conversation just like I did with my own daughter. Yeah.
Oh, that is nice to hear. Very nice to hear. So, what do you hope your readers come away with?
So the four book series is for those teen girls. Only the first two books are out, plus that book study. The second book is a pro-life novel, and it's about teen pregnancy. can't really mince that topic, right? I know that that can be a very touchy topic to have conversation about, especially within the Christian community. We all hope that that's not going to be true for our girls, right? Or sons. My books are specifically for, I've written them with a teen girl in mind, right? But I actually infused my second novel. It's called Secrets, The Truth Will Out. I've infused it with real life crisis pregnancy resources
Oh,
because
nice.
it's my dream that every teen girl in America will have these actual resources, such as Let Them Live, an amazing organization. Pro-Life Across America, another great one. Students for Life, amazing. It's my dream that these young women will have these contacts and this information in their phone and in their minds before they have to make the choice or before they need to help their friend make that choice. So I wanted to touch their hearts with story because there's something so magical about a story. It does something that reaches us more than any lecture will do, more than any facts. Just clean facts will do. Seeing the way the cat characters in the story work through these challenging situations helps you to talk about it with them, helps them to talk about it together. So I guess the takeaway would be that they have knowledge. That they have, that they're prepared, that somehow through these books, they have more understanding than they did before they read the books. That and a true curiosity for the gospel message. I just wanted to ignite a spark in their hearts, for the truth.
And did you start out thinking that you were going to write a pro-life book, or did it just evolve?
And that's where I just really feel like it's the Holy Spirit working. I wrote the first book, and the characters just became these real people to me. And then the characters just started telling their stories. So in that first book, you meet several girls, and each one of the subsequent books then tells the story in the same timeline of another girl in the story. So you get to see the life circumstances of what's going on in each of the girls' lives in her own way, but each story builds really, really good on each other to still move the storyline forward. But you get this peek inside their lives that normally you wouldn't get into each character quite to this extent, right? But so that's just how it happened with the pro-life book. In the first novel, you see that there's a girl who is. There's something going on with her, right? She is removed. She's having problems with her boyfriend. You can see the tensions, but you don't know exactly what that thing is. So the second book, you discover that she is pregnant. And so this is the reason why things are the way they are in the first book. That's just how that happened. And then because I thought, I don't know, it just came to me and I just wanted to really look at that character. And explore what really was going on for her that got her to that place.
To what extent do you think writing can change culture?
100%.
Okay.
Because if you can change the heart of one person, that means you can change the heart of many people, and changing the hearts of people changes culture. And story is just something that resonates with the human spirit. It has since the beginning of time. So that story is culture.
So you talked before about your readers may spend a significant amount of time on social media and TikTok. Do you find that young people are still craving books to read?
Yes. I think that now more than ever, there's this hunger for more from the entertainment industry, books being one of those industries. I I still think books are as relevant as they have ever been. Of course, film is more enticing possibly, right? Like the trailers and all the money and influence around a film, right? But books are still they're still important. Even this, and this is what kind of what got me. If I go just go into a little thing here, my daughter, when she transitioned to public school, she was so first of all, birth control is being talked about at a younger and younger age. I mean, that is like cafeteria talk now. It at as a 12-year-old, that's what she came home and she taught told me that everybody was talking around about at lunch, what kind of birth control they were going to go on. And then also that same year, 12 years old, I don't know if you're familiar with Colleen Hoover. Very popular books right now, but also not so wholesome, if you know what I mean. She was telling me that girls in her class at 12 and 13 were reading Colleen Hoover books. And if any of you are familiar, there's some very dark. I won't read them myself. I like sampled it to see what it was, you know, so I was aware. But I was like, nope, I'm not putting this, I'm not bringing this into my life, my mind and my soul, right? And I then th these so they're reading these. They're reading these and they're popular. And so if this is popular and they're passing this around at school, why can we need to meet that with an equally attractive alternative that has more goodness to it. Truth, beauty, and goodness, but it has to be just as appealing as the Colleen Hoover novels. So, yes, books have their place.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are speaking with author Verity Lucia. Verity, what advice would you have for a young person considering writing as a hobby or career?
Do it. Would say do it. And even if you don't think you're good enough, even if you don't think maybe you're sophisticated enough. I mean, I would never categorize myself as a sophisticated writer. But if you have a story to share, and I think most of us do, find your why for writing. Know what you are trying to do and then do it. And don't let the critics hold you back.
Oh, that's beautiful advice. And what is the goal for your writing?
Goal for my writing, just to keep telling fun and meaningful stories, to reach more teens with truth and beauty and bring light to their lives through quality entertainment. And you know what? Secrets makes the perfect Easter gift for teen girls. Telling you, that's a basket stuffer.
There you go. There you go. Definitely. And what do you enjoy most about writing?
Making something out of nothing. I, in all aspects of my work, I like creating something from nothing, and the ability to do things in through the word that you can't do in reality, right? Like you can make things fly. You can add magical elements that you couldn't do in reality. And that's the beauty of writing. I remember like the one of the scenes in my first book, I was just like, you know, you write it and it becomes real in your mind. And I was like, that is just so cool. Like how many industries or professions are you able to do that? And that's what I love about it.
So take us through the timetable and the effort that you put into your work from the time that you first had this idea of writing a book to the time when the book was actually published. Can you give us a flavor for that?
The first book, it was 6 months from starting to write the book to publishing the book. And that, I mean, that was what I took the self-publishing course inside that time and learned how to self-publish because I had heard that it can take up to 3 years to publish traditionally. And so I guess I'm just kind of an impatient person. I was like, no, I just want this book out there. I want to be able to give it to my daughter and my nieces before they're aging out, you know, before I, because I really do believe about reaching them at that age with like reach them with the truth before the world reaches them with lies. This is critical. Of course, it's as they get older, it's not too late to have conversations. It just becomes harder to impress upon them your opinion, I guess, or the truth if they've already formed a strong opinion from the world. So I just wanted it out there. So I just did it. And I think I only did like six drafts or something with the first one. And maybe I could have taken a little bit longer to hone it, I guess. But at that time, like I said, it was my first book. So I just wanted to do it. So I did it. The second book I wrote, I think it was pretty similar. I published that one, I think, a year after the first one, but I took a break between the first one and the second one. And then the second one, I wrote primarily between the hours of like 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. And because that's like only the quiet hours in my house. So, because I'm a homeschooling mom too. I think that one just, it just came really fast. That one just, it just happened. The third one is taking me longer. The third one is not published yet, and it is about the villain in the story. And so it is a little tricky because there's so much darkness in it. So it's not quite out yet.
Very interesting. And what feedback have you received from readers to your books?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The young women that are reading this, they just ask me for the next one. And you know, they read it almost quite often. I hear they read the second one in 2 days because they can't put it down. And then they were mad. I had a girl, I teach catechism at for some teenagers, actually confirmation class, and one of them read it and she was like, "You didn't do this to me. Where's the third book?" Where I was like, "Well, it's in my computer. You can't read it yet." So I mean, they get it. The young women get it. I actually, I would say my biggest fan, I think she's maybe 38, and she's a mom. She doesn't have teen girls yet, but she actually is pretty on fire for the books as well. So she just liked that there was something different.
Yeah, definitely. And do you find that these books are sparking conversations between moms and daughters?
Oh yeah. So I mean, I only released the right as of now, you can download a free conversation guide from my website to go along with these two books. But I only released the companion book study just a few months ago, but I did host a local chapter of the book study where a group of moms and daughters got together and did this with me. So we did like a launch party and then gave them a few weeks to do this together. Then we did a completion ceremony where we got together and ate some food, of course. So you have to have the chocolate when you do this, mandatory. And it went really well. The girls, actually, two of them told me, "I don't read." And their moms were kind of like twisting their arm a little bit to do this. And then you know what they said to me after? Because I asked for feedback and they said, I don't like reading, but I love this book." And I
Oh,
was like,
wow.
bingo. That's what I was going for.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What an amazing feeling that must be.
It really is. It really is. And like, that's what it's all about, right? And when I wrote the first book, I told myself success is touching one heart. If one person is touched from these stories, then that's success to me. So it's having the amount of feedback that I have received and reading the reviews on Amazon, and it's just very encouraging to keep going.
We talked about the conversations between moms and daughters, but I imagine that there are also conversations between young women, and that those can supplant those problematic conversations we were talking about earlier in the lunchrooms.
Absolutely. I gifted one of these books to a young woman. She lives in Canada, because I know her mom, and so I sent some copies, or I gave some copies to them when I had seen them. And I heard from them that they loved them so much that they were passing them around at school, in their high school in Canada. And I was like, that is awesome. Like that, because just them talking about it together and sharing it, that, what can you ask for more than that, right? So even if they don't read it with their mothers, they are at least getting what they are from the story and passing it along.
So you're working on this one book with the villain at this point. Do you foresee other books in your future?
Yeah, so we've got the four book series. The third one was with the villain, and then the fourth one is ends up being about like the hero of the whole story, right? So I've got those, and then I do have kind of a dystopian sci-fi that I really want to get to, but I have to finish this series for my readers first before I start that next series. But yes, I do. I would love it if writing could be my full-time thing and I could just put my efforts there. Yes.
What a lot of people don't realize is that it's very difficult to make writing a full-time career, especially fiction writing, because the rewards simply are not there to support yourself. But it's a wonderful second stream of income, and it can be a wonderful outlet, creative outlet. You mentioned the fact that you're a homeschooling mom. I imagine that many of your experiences influence your writing.
Oh, well, a lot of my experiences influence my writing, but mostly some of it coming from a homeschooling mom position, but a lot of it coming from my own wayward history. There was about 10 years where I was just a student of the world. I rejected faith when I was 15, and that's why I started writing the books, because I wrote the books that I needed when I was a young woman. I had too many questions and not enough answers. I had rejected confirmation, even though I had been raised in a really good home, Catholic home. I had been sent to Catholic schools, and I rejected at 15. I said, I don't know about this. And I went to college, and then it just got worse, and I was just influenced by everything going on there. But it was my choice. I don't blame anyone or anything. It was my free choice to go that path. But I experienced depression and anxiety and sin of all levels, and I just didn't want that for my children. So that's where it's coming from, yeah.
Every saint has a past.
So yeah, I mean, I couldn't have written the books, I don't think, at least not with the authenticity and the realness of it, right? If I hadn't experienced that period, decade of darkness.
And so you use it for good now.
Yes, that's what that's the beauty of it, right? If it's all for you, even the suffering is for you. I believe that.
So we've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm wondering if you can tell people how to find out more about you and your writing and your books.
Yes. So you can stay connected with me on Instagram and Facebook under author.verity.lucia. And then I would love if you would stay connected with me through my newsletter, where I share new releases and also tips to stay connected with your teen on my website, www.veritylucia.books.com. So that's the best place to stay in touch.
That's great. And do you have any final thoughts about writing for teens and the whole idea of writing with the aim of changing culture?
I think there's a gap. I see a lot of talk about classics, you know, make sure your teens, high schoolers are reading all the classics. I see a lot of like lower middle grade books come out. And then I see a lot of historical fiction. Not to knock any of these genres by any means, but I see a lot of these things. I think teens want contemporary fiction that's not sanitized of hardship. I don't think they want water drinking, granola eating characters that never make a mistake. You know, they want to feel seen and understood by reading about characters who are like them. And that is what I am trying to do. And that is what I believe we need more of.
Definitely. And you are satisfying an important need that's out there among our teenage girls. And I just want to salute you so much
Thank you.
for your strength and courage and your creativity in getting these books out to the world. So thank you so much, Verity.
Thank you, Maria. And thank you for having me on so that I can share my story. I appreciate it so much.
Sure. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters throughout the Commonwealth. We've been speaking with author Verity Lucia. Thank you for joining us today. It would not be the same without you. And it's very important to remember that there's always a reason to choose life. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.